You know, whoever invented tweeting should be shot. I mean, I'm not a violent person, and I don't mean physically shot. I mean, like, cartoon shot. You know, tweeting is a horrible thing. It has socially messed us up. It has taken us from expressing ourselves into putting ourselves into just a couple of words. It gives us all an immediate voice, and that's stupid, because most people shouldn't have a voice at all. Can you imagine if the whole tweeting thing got into the hands of some idiot or schmuck who didn't know how to use it?
You know, I tweeted today, at real Donald Trump, I tweet. And that's, you know, it solves it. Don't worry, I'll give it up after I'm president. We won't tweet anymore, I don't think. Not presidential.
Shut up!
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
So how are you? Good. How you doing? Good.
Whatever.
It's nice. That's nice. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. I just wish that that president guy would just shut up. If you're going to go play golf every weekend while you're president, then just go play and shut up. Go to bed. Go to bed at a decent hour. Sleep through the night. Take some of those sleep enhancement pills or whatever they enhance. And just go to bed and just stop it. Just shut up. Go play golf. Stop running the country into the ground. Just shut up. Ladies want you to shut up.
Shut up!
Men want you to shut up.
Shut up!
Dogs want you to shut up.
Oh,
they are cute, though. They are cute, aren't they? All right, I got to get beyond this. I got to get beyond this somehow. Got to get beyond it. I live in the Boston area. Not by choice. It's not so bad. This is where I ended up. This is for people that don't make plans with their life. They just end up in places. It's pretty much me. I ended up here. Yeah. There are sports teams. I'm not really into sports. Sorry, I am a man, but I didn't know that was a prerequisite. I'm sorry. Not that into it. I'm into more reality than that stuff. But in any event, there are sports teams here. I find them quite humorous. I really do. And this can be for any town or city that has a sports team. It's just kind of stupid. So watching TV, which I tend to do, there's a commercial for replacement windows. You know, you haven't had your windows replaced. They're getting old. They're not as thermally efficient as they used to be. So there's this company. It's replacement doors and windows. And at the end of the commercial, they say that they are the official door and replacement, a door or window replacement company of the Boston Red Sox. And I just thought, what? Could you say that again? Because that makes no sense. We're the official window and door replacement company of the Boston Red Sox. Okay, what am I supposed to do with that information? You know, we should have our windows replaced. Well, who do the Boston Red Sox use? They're the experts in door and window replacement. Have you ever seen the doors and windows at Fenway Park? They're amazing. What the hell is that about? What is that about? That's the stupidest marketing campaign I've ever heard of in my life. The official door and window replacement company of the Boston Red Sox. Did they take a vote amongst all the players? Bob, door and window replacement-wise, who do you think is the best? I think it's the Precision Door and Window Replacement Company. Are we all in agreement on the team? Are we all in agreement that we've all had our doors and windows replaced, and we all agree that they're the official ones? It's so stupid. What it means is that there was no contest. There was no contest of all the door and window replacement companies, and the Boston Red Sox decided which one was the most efficient and the best. That didn't happen. That didn't happen, I guarantee you. What happened was the Boston Red Sox organization said, who's going to give us the most money to so that we can allow them to use our name as an endorsement? Oh, let's see. It's that company over there. They gave us the most money. Therefore, they are the official door and window replacement. That's all it is, you idiot. Oh, man. You've heard of Kleenex tissues? Sure, you've had a cold. You've blown your nose into that stuff before. I've seen you do it. Kleenex is such a big tissue company that people call all tissues Kleenex. They refer to that category by a brand name. There are other makers of facial tissue, but people actually say, do you have a Kleenex? That's big. So why in the world would the Kleenex company have to state in one of their commercials that Kleenex is the official facial tissue of the New England Patriots? What? Are you serious? That's true. Every one of our players prefer the Kleenex brand to other. They don't give a crap what tissue they're using. Facial tissue, as opposed to bathroom tissue. One's for the face, the other is for the you-know-what. Let me tell you something. If I'm on the toilet and I've just taken a large one and it's time for me to utilize my bathroom tissue, I don't really give a crap what the brand is. I really don't. Not at that point, I don't. I gotta wipe my butt, honey. Do you have the official bathroom tissue of the New England Patriots? I don't. It's not the official one. I don't have the official one. Oh, great. What am I gonna do now? I only want the official. My message to you, Mr. and Mrs. Consumer, unless you're not married, then Miss and Mr. Consumer. It has nothing to do with the team endorsing the product as if they like it a lot. It has to do with what company paid the most money to be able to put that little emblem on their box. Don't be fooled. It wasn't voted in as the best by the entire team. Most of the team doesn't use that stuff. Look, if I were in sports and I was making $30 million a year, I would not give a crap what the brand name was. I would ask my people to go buy the stuff. I wish I had people. Do you have people? Do you have enough money where you actually have people? I don't have people. I used to have people, but the people left me. Their people got their own people. I used to have business lunches. This is a true story. When I was living in New York, I used to have business lunches with people. And I did have someone that actually arranged these things for me because I was in the entertainment business down there, and you couldn't do it yourself. Oh my God, you can't do it yourself. So I had people. And it was fun to have people. Then I said to myself one day, the hell are you doing? You got people. Why, this is embarrassing. People don't like the fact that you have people. My people will talk to your people and we'll arrange lunch. Why don't your people just have lunch with my people and then I don't have to have lunch with you at all? How about that? Isn't that like a lot better? I think so. I think that works a lot better, personally. Yeah, you know, I like a little high class in my life, I must admit.
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, 10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane, frankly. Do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
There's an expression that kind of bothers me, and I don't know why it bothers me. It's probably because I have nothing else to do but have things bother me. When a woman, that's somebody of the female gender, uses the term guys when referring to other women, I find that to be a bit preposterous. A man is a guy. I don't think a woman is a guy. Unless someone changed the definition and didn't send me an email about it. People will walk up to other people, and if it's like a bunch of girls, they'll walk up and they'll say, "Hey guys, how you doing?" Guys, they're not guys, they're girls. Why can't you say, "Hi girls, how you doing?" Why do you call the girls guys? I can understand some type of nomenclature that is ambidextrous, so to speak. But to take the male thing and to throw it on the female thing is just odd. It's just like, are you blind? Those are not guys. Those are girls. These words are supposed to have some meaning here. And it's not in a sexist sense. It's just, you don't know how to use the words properly. You're just taking words and you're using them at your own leisure there to mean other things. I talked about this last week about Michael Jackson. Rest his soul, I'm telling you. What a talent. What a talent with what a screwed up childhood. What a screwed up childhood Michael Jackson had. Oh my God, how could he have possibly turned out normal? There's no way. So I wasn't surprised. Jackson comes out with, and I call him Jackson, he comes out with with this song, I'm Bad or something like that. And then all of a sudden, in the English language, bad means good. So when someone comes up to me and says, "Ron, that's really bad," I say, "Oh, I'm sorry, it's offensive." No. I mean, it's really good. This is not what you said. You said it's really bad. You can't use a word and throw a meaning onto it that's the opposite of what the word is. It doesn't make any sense. That's like walking into a dark room and saying, "Wow, it's really light in here." It's not light, it's dark. Yeah, that's what I mean. It just, stop it. Just stop it. Girls are girls, they're not guys, okay? Whew. You really pissed me off here. All right, calm down. Because we're coming up upon a segment that I look forward to on a weekly basis. It's called Chit Chat. And during this segment, I speak to Alicia Carey, who is in New York City. I'm in the Boston area, and as the holidays are coming upon us, thought that this particular social issue would be of interest to just about everybody. It's time for Chit Chat with Alicia Carey. She joins us now with a topical type of conversation. How are you, Alicia?
I am wonderful. How are you, Ron?
I'm not so bad, really, now that you ask.
Okay, good.
Okay, fine. Okay. We're coming up on the holiday party concept of life, which means it's not just holiday parties, but at work, when you have an office party, you kind of must go. And it opens up a whole new set of circumstances. So let's talk about the do's and don'ts of the office holiday party. Now, you're an independent worker, entrepreneur.
Yes, I'm an entrepreneur. Entrepreneur. That's the word I am. That's the title I'm going to claim.
Yes.
Yes, I am I'm a boss lady, and but I have. In my starting out, I did work for a couple of production firms.
Yes.
So I've been in that environment. Yes. And also around the holiday times, there is, media events that, that kind of are basically kind of my version of a office party.
Right. Yes. I mean, I too, when I was in other days, I worked for companies and, yes, I attended the office party. It's an interesting concept. It's almost like a reveal in a way.
Well, you're right. I was in getting ready this morning, and I was thinking about some of the things that happened to me at one of my very first office parties. But yes, it is. It's like, the old saying, drunk minds speak sober tongue. Yeah,
yes.
It's a reveal, right? Depends on,
it does.
A reveal.
It does. Well, it is. Because now we're getting like more of a mix of your personal off-duty personality as opposed to your job person. And it is a reveal. I remember office parties, and every single one of them, something happened.
Agreed.
And it wasn't always, it wasn't about me. It was about somebody, and I never looked at that person the same after that office party, which is scary. I'm frightening. You say, thank God that wasn't me, but things happen.
Absolutely. I've heard horror stories. Participated in, I dipped my toe into it, but no, I was not necessarily the one that they were pointing the finger at. But yes, there's been my office party stories range from 0 to 10, know, 0 meaning choir, and 10 meaning really, stuff like that.
Yeah. Now let's start with the basics of it. Of course, when we go to a party and we're off work, we try to be ourselves, and we all think that we're marvelous people when we're not working, that ourselves are a wonderful thing to be, and people encourage us, just be yourself. This might be the one circumstance where you better be careful about being yourself.
I agree. I'd say dial it way down.
Yeah.
Pretend you're at church, kind of a dial down. I was given instructions. One of my very first office parties, it was a PR event. It wasn't necessarily just our office. It was like others. And it was, don't drink any alcohol. And I was like, come on, really?
Yeah.
And I tried to keep that rule. Toward the middle of the night, I just couldn't. I had to have a glass of wine. And I did only have the glass of wine, but the others who did not have that one glass, let's just say some stuff came out, particularly for me. Certain men approached me in a non-business-like approach.
Yes.
And that was the drunk mind speaking the sober tongue. So I think that's my first rule to anybody out there with an office party. Yes, I mean, sometimes, and to be honest, our personalities just, we try to contain them, but they spill out. But they spill out more when the alcohol flows. So I would say, in my opinion, if you can, at an office party, and you value that job, and you want to grow in that job, and maybe it's your, let's just say if it's your first year at that job, I would not drink.
No.
I know this is like,
I would not
and
go.
If you, I would say don't drink. Yes. And if you're tempted to drink, leave early. Yes. Or if you're tempted to drink, eat, you know, eat a lot, you know, stuff your mouth with hors d'oeuvres. But if you need a drink to hold you through, then limit it, honestly, only to one. And I would make that one something light, nothing with the dark spirits, you know, that can get you. I'm talking, you know, white wine spritzer or a beer, but don't go into your whiskey. You know, you're kind of, you know, your situations like that. But that's my first rule.
You got to work. You got to work with these people like for 8-9 hours a day, every weekday. And you don't want that's to me, that's like role playing. And there's nothing wrong with it because that's the role you've got to play. I'm a good person. I'm a working person. I get along with others.
Correct.
I'm very smart.
I have no beef against my boss.
Right, exactly.
You know, I'm not interested in Kathy and accounting, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Although Kathy
Kathy in that tight dress. Oh, and speaking of my other rule, when it comes to office parties, let's talk about something that one of my entrepreneur hats that I'll put on is I'm a designer. And I do believe in always being yourself, really. But if yourself is in your off time is a micro mini with a thong that people can see from the outside, I would say not be yourself then. I'm being honest. It's just, if you can, and it's an office party, I would say stay within your office attire.
Yes.
And if you wanted to kind of, you know, dress it up a little bit, I would say dress it up when it comes to, instead of like flats, wear heels. Instead of, you know, maybe make your makeup a little bit more, you know, evening time. Or maybe put some bling on. You know what I mean? When it comes to jewelry. But for the rest, I would say keep it office, business, casual. You know what I mean?
Yeah, stay with the role. Stay with the role that you're playing.
Don't go out. Don't color out of the lines and go into a club mode, because it will be a different story.
At every one of the office parties that I remember, and it was quite some time ago, there would be one female that would dress like she was going to the Oscars, or a little too revealing in the cleavage area.
Yes,
and again, from that day on, she was never looked at the same.
Never.
And the same for a guy. I mean, when guys, you know, also either dress down way too down, or quite the opposite, or wear a velvet jacket, it's like, oh, okay, you're like different. And I think that's what you don't want to project. You don't want to project the hell of a lot of different.
Well, you know what, you mentioned something that I'm thinking about. You say there's a role, and you're right, we have different roles. There's our friend face, there is our business or office face, there is our family face, there is, we have a different, like you say, roles or faces, and I really for a while, I'm going to be very honest, I did have a very close relationship with those that I worked with.
Yes.
They were almost like family.
Sure.
But like you said, the dynamics, it's great to have that role, but then sometimes it gets a little complicated when one of the people within your little circle is like your boss, or you have a relationship, female or, you know, I mean, female or male, with somebody in that role, and then it turns, you know, or whatever.
Well, that's, see,
you know,
that's the problem, because this is a business, it is a role. There are dynamics to this certain relationship. And if you get real tight with your boss, or the boss gets real tight with you, and this is good words for the boss too, someday you may have to fire that person.
Yeah.
And they have kids, and you're putting them in a bad situation. be very careful about it, just how you foster these relationships in what is actually a business atmosphere. Very, very weird and dangerous. I don't know if we have time to talk about it today, but it might be a good subject for some other time.
Yeah, definitely.
It's dating other people that you work with. Now, you're with them for 8-9 hours a day for most of the week. So, yeah, relationships develop. But how good an idea is that? Some people get married eventually and spend the rest of their lives together.
Some do.
But if it doesn't work out, then it can be catastrophic. So, maybe we'll talk about that sometime.
Yeah, but definitely, like you say, I mean, I'd rather if you really, and it depends on the atmosphere too. Let me just say this too. I've dated finance guys. I've dated architects. And the PR and media industry that I'm in, and fashion industry, their rules are a little lax sometimes, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But I've also seen some of the craziest stuff at the most uptight events. You know what I mean?
I know.
So I'm trying to say that like you figure like PR events and entertaining events, they are, you know, the rules are a little lax.
Yes.
I'm going to say sometimes, but like I said, I've seen some intimate situations at very high end, you know, buttoned up affairs, office parties. And I'm thinking, you know, should that be happening at this juncture? So I don't really think no industry, no office party is immune to, you know, somebody going over the top, kissing somebody inappropriately, making an inappropriate gesture. I don't think there's any safe, or quote-unquote relaxed environment where it's ever okay. I feel that, like you said, we have to kind of stick to that role.
Yes,
you know, and if you bring your spouse or your significant other, you also have to make sure that they kind of stick to, you know, your role. You know what I mean?
Because, I would so much rather go to an office party where they say it's just for the employees. I would love that, because as soon as you bring a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or another person, then again you're being judged further than where you were judged before.
You are so right, Ron. Let me tell you something. I've seen people like, you know, like you say, work with them like 5 days a week, 6 days a week, and you think this person's X, Y, and Z, and then you meet their significant other, and you're like, really?
Whoa.
You're with this guy?
Yeah.
You're really dating him?
Yeah.
So, yes. And if he turns out to be, like, let's just say, not what you expected, below par, if you will, then you never look at them the same. You're like, really? Really? That's your romance, you know?
It's, you know.
So, yeah, you're right. You're judged by the company you keep, as always, especially if that company is your near and dear. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I agree, but I still bring them. Why not?
Because you live dangerously. That's
what. Oh, you know, I'm wild. It's Monday.
Uh-oh. Anyway, well, there you have it. I guess the bottom line is just be careful when you go to your office holiday party. Be very, 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 very careful.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking, is that too boring? Let's just put it this way. Okay, so maybe my wrap up is go to your holiday party, enjoy yourself. However, remember that you're going to actually have to work with these people the next day and the next day and the next day. So unless you're quitting on the holiday party, yes, definitely. I would say even in this day and age, I would still say err on the conservative.
Yes.
And conservative side. Yes.
I would agree.
Err on the conservative side.
Yes. And my other tip is don't stay all night. Do your thing.
Don't be the last one.
Do your thing. Rub your elbows and say, hey, thank you, but I got to get up early in the morning. I've got a date with a prostitute. You know, something.
Oh, that's exactly something. Right. Ron, you know what? You get the prize today. Yes, you get the chit-chat ball today. Yes. I can't stay long. Got to get up early. I got a date with a prostitute.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm out. Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you very much. Just want to
tip your waiter.
Right. Hey, this has been the Chit Chat with Alicia Carey. Thanks again, and it's been fun. See, I think that's fascinating. That was pretty fascinating. I don't know if it solved any problems. It was just kind of buyer beware. Buyer beware. Always only buy products that are endorsed by major sporting organizations. And you can't go wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, well, I wish you peace.